And this is Book R, beginning January of 1965 and continuing up to the almost the end of 1965. This book has some reference to earlier ideas that I will try to make clear. In the beginning is just continuing the haptoglobin, two splitting tests and so on, by running two-dimensional gels on, notice this is HV2, not HV22, HV2 meaning the monomer, HV2 monomer, etc., and continuing to investigate that situation in two-dimensional gels in the following pages. We'll continue with, to try with urea on Wednesday, January 20th, page 5, at room temperature, and so on, and then next week pages. Haptoglobin 2-1 monomer, in quotation mark, electrophoresis, on page 11. Rather poor looking gel. The page 12 and 13, April 8, 1965, are written in, presumably, Nancy's handwriting. It's talking about Dillon, normal Red Cross borate serum. Trying some cross polymerized beads, Wednesday, May 5th, page 15, and some haptoglobin finals. These are presumably for ready for publication, that I'm trying to get the images in the different stages. So page 18 has a gel which is pretty close to a final type gel of haptoglobin split and run in 8 mole urea. After splitting in 8 mole urea and borate and with mercaptoethanol, and then run in a formic acid gel. This looks very close to a final publication gel, which we identified later. So this page 18 and page 19 of Book R are getting close to the images used in describing what happens in the haptoglobin system. Quite nice gels. So again, trying to get good images for publication. Haptoglobin monomer resynthesis on July 15th. Effect of mercaptoethanol on resynthesis. Beginning to understand protein SSME in the presence of mercaptoethanol, S minus goes to protein SS protein plus ME SSME. I mean, it's quite clear that I now am understanding what the resynthesis mechanism is. So this is Monday, July 19th, page 29. A clear statement of what should happen. And that tests on the following page. First of all, the reaction at after 19 hours, storage at room temperature, and then at 33 hours, and showing the monomer control, and then the effect of the monomer plus mercaptoethanol are getting partial resynthesis. The resynthesis looks like making something rather like a 2-1. No significant change with time, but obviously resynthesis is occurring. And the 37 degree test of the resynthesis on page 35. I've tried to see if that makes any difference. No comment. It's quite apparent that there isn't really any big effect. Page 37 is actually is the beginning of the answer to the resynthesis too, although not obvious yet. It just says on page 37, note, once the best conditions are established, increase the concentration of haptoglobin, which I know from the final result it turns out to be very important. Page 39, final gel of haptoglobin 2-2 resynthesis. Doesn't look terribly impressive. Beginning to have some thoughts on illustrating this reaction is apparent on Monday, August the 2nd. I know became part of the final paper on the use of dithioglycol and reversing things is coupling of glutathione to hemoglobin, knowing the presence of an SH group. So this is testing hemoglobin to see if I could alter the mobility of hemoglobin by combining it with haptoglobin. The reaction is fast and can test with half an hour at room temperature, etc., etc. The result is not very clean in this particular test, but it's the beginning of what later turned out to be quite good. A repeat of the GSSG test, that's glutathione disulfide test with the new hemoglobin. On page 43, is set up what to expect. And the result shown in a gel, and the change in mobility is good to see. That's a really not correct statement. The result on page 45 is presented as what happens with iodoacetamide and glutathione and iodoacetamide alone, etc. the benzidine gave her trouble. It said the gel actually looks quite nice, but I'm not satisfied with it. Higher pH on the next page, and testing again the effect of glutathione disulfide on the mobility of hemoglobin. Test with also with cysteamine that would introduce a positive charge would be fairly easy to see, and of 37 degree for glutathione disulfide and cysteamine test, which is cysteamine dichloride is actually NH3 plus CH2CH2SNH3 plus cysteamine is the amino instead of dithiodiglycol, it's diamino thiodiglycol, I guess. But anyway, it introduces the positive charge with the comment that clearly it's on the borderline for severity as judging by A2, but GSSG is more extensive. There's clearly effects there. And Friday, August 6th, repeat with the cysteamine result of with some very clear gels, which are probably actually used in the paper, as we will later see. So I'll stop for a moment and check the paper. The gel, so the gel on page 50, run on Friday, August the 6th, is used in my later paper on disulfide bond cleavage and formation in proteins, which was published in December of 1965 in Science magazine. Quite a nice paper. In fact, looking at it on Google, I find that it's been quoted 92 times, so, and people were using it as designed to control the resynthesis and cleavage, the cleavage and resynthesis of thiol of disulfide bonds in proteins under controlled condition. So the gel on page 50 is figure 3 of this paper. I'll look back to see which gel was used for figure 1 in that paper. You see, I've identified the gel that was used for figure 1, panel A. This is on was run on Saturday, December 12th, page 88. The top left-hand gel, although the photograph is rather faint, I'm pretty sure that that's the image which was used for panel A of figure 1 of the disulfide paper. Yes, I don't know whether this is now a correction or not, but the panel B of the paper in Science was on page 88, Saturday, December 12th. I think I've already commented on that. It's panel A is a little bit more difficult to find. Yeah, the two figures, the two panels in the Science volume 150, 19, or whatever it was, 1965 paper, are page 82 and page 88. The figures are taken from those two pages.
Okay.
So we continue with having identified basically the figures and the ideas behind the disulfide paper. So continuing then with book R. Some digressions of dead testing bisulfite reactions also of the sort that Rupert Cecil has done in the following pages. And also tests with nitrobenzene, nitrobenzoic acid disulfide, would give an acidic product, and tested it with hemoglobin and got the expected result. Okay, this reagent will work. Some degradation products, etc., etc. The little arrow, but it basically it worked on Sunday, September 5th. Now on the following page, 58 and 59, Thursday, September 8th, is a complete change of thought. And here are beginning experiments, I think probably with Alice Claflin, looking to see whether antibody cells could divide. Exactly what the motivation is not clear in the book, although I think it goes back to a paper on antibody virus, which I had a paper I don't really think was worth anything, but it was published as a theoretical or hypothesis paper, as we will see. This was a paper published in July of 1965, and so this a series of experiments carried out in September of 1965 are beginning of some tests intended to test this hypothesis. In an earlier book, this is the beginning of tests related to a general plan for antibody transfer tests, which I had already pointed out in book Q, page 13, a general plan for antibody transfer tests, the idea being to take litters of newborn or prenatal cow cells, allow them to grow, and ditto with sheep cells, newborn or prenatal, and immunize them, if possible, with different antigens, and then see if one could crisscross things. So the idea was cow cells, allow them to grow, sheep cells, allow them to grow, and continued injections from time to time to see whether it was possible to transfer the antibody producing capability from one cell to another, which was what was being discussed in this rather, in my mind at this point, rather silly paper on antibody induction and tolerance, which I had published, as I said, in July. Anyway, these tests in book are towards that idea, and it was done by radioactive tests where thymidine, tritiated thymidine, was cells dividing or cells being cultured were exposed to tritiated thymidine, and the idea being to look and see if any of the plaques had incorporated DNA or thymidine, indicating that they divided. So there's a long list of what the various cells looked like on page 58 from the autoradiographs. And continue on page 60 and 61. With a summary on page 61. Summary: thick areas lead to diffuse plaques and dangerous label. Only superficial cells are safe. Therefore, count only thin slides. As far as getting the autoradiography to match the microscopic images. Going on Friday, September 9th, and many sketches of what was happening in these cells. But here and there, cannot see the cell, no label, clear but a small plaque, etc. So I'm looking for plaques and looking for incorporation at the same time, which later became a part of, or in fact the bulk of, Alice Claflin's 1970 thesis on antibody cells in division. Continuing with several more pages and the number of grains of autoradiographic tracks being recorded. For example, on 66, a large clear cell with 50 grains over it, indicating that it had probably divided already or had incorporated thymidine. 200 microcuries used on page 69, September 12th. And here and there, junk, zero, junk, no label. So not very happy. Following pages, much the same. Trying to do a different method and try to get imprints of the cells rather than trying to look at the gel directly on page 73. And double plaques on Tuesday, the September 14th, in animals, six animals were given, one and two and three and four, and which were animals, one and two were given 50% cow cells, three and four were given 50% pig cells, and five and six were a mixture of the two cells. Aim to plate anti-cow, anti-pig, and anti-pig cow on cow-pig and 50-50 mixture, etc., and looking for clear plaques, trying to see if they what the antibodies were. Back to making Bench-Jones proteins on, checking on them on page 79, September 21st, and some rather nice gels on the following page. I must have been rather happy to have that break of gels. trying SSR reactions with the Bence-Jones protein on September 23rd, and saying the results are quite happy. I've never been multiple myeloma versus that's a different experiment. This was Nevin's multiple myeloma serum, I think, versus the Bence-Jones protein, which of course was what eventually Jerry Edelman with Pulik showed. Using the molar urea, in this case with barium lactate gel. And more tests with Nevin on page 87. And then returning again to the cultured cells on Tuesday, September 28th, pages of sketches. Two pages of sketches of the cells and so on, a heavy label background, random label, etc. No label, no label. Eight grains, 12 grains over all cells, etc. Not very pleasing, I'm sure, at the time. One grain, no label, no label, page 90, etc. Average about 5, therefore the above Russell results are probably by chance. Attempting to improve the situation by taking imprints, more counts, and with on page 95 with a big square saying background rather high, do not use these data. Yes, here there's a very clear notation that it's Alice Claflin, because there's a note on page 99 saying separate check by AC on screens shows 1 and 4 were high, so response is there, meaning we were getting antibodies, but it's Alice Claflin. Continuing these experiments. Over the next several pages, with some of the writing being by Alice and some by me. And then pleasing result on page 109, Tuesday, October 19th, 1965, in Alice's writing, and then in my writing at the bottom. One of the dry photos has a metaphase. Animal 22 has a metaphase at the position being 112.8 by 5.6 on the microscope stage. Continuing the work and the following pages. Struggling with the technique, and then on page 117, some imprints taken with light microscopy at high power, mounted in immersion oil under the cover slip, and some rather beautiful images of clusters of cells, with a comment on the left-hand side that this plate was nearly ideal, about 6 hours dry, etc., etc., stained with Sargent Giemsa, and so one could see the morphology of the cells. On page 119, the cell there, which is, says, this cell is a monocyte, and this cell is a dendritic macrophage. So the cells were being recognizable at, with a high power lens, 1.25 with new camera, and no anti-shake precautions. Page 125 is a whole series of exposures taken with Polaroid film. This cell it looks as if it was in was a metaphage cell from looking at it now. There were one shown in the top left hand on the on page 120. Continuing with these experiments with Alice. And looking for cross reactivity between the anti-pig and the anti-cow serum 4 days after immunization. And so these would be IgM-producing cells, producing, would be IgM antibodies, presumably. And the cross-reactivity is quoted on page 130 as less than 5%, but greater than 2% of pig versus cow and cow versus pig. With this was assayed by the number of plaques obtained with the cow cell, with the antibody cells being plated into agar that contained the red cell. So the clear plaques are where a cell is producing a hemolytic antibody. So, for example, 36. Out of 5,130 were clear over the number of total plaques, 0.7%, etc., and average being 3.6, page 130, looking at the antibody, the cross reaction by counting plaques that hemolyzed either all of the cells of one type and none of the other, or hemolyzed partly both types of cells, etc. Quite a good experiment. Several pages following all in Alice's writing. She wrote down what a gel was even on page 140, 141. So continuing in the same vein, the rest of this book is all in her handwriting, and it ends on Friday, November 26th, 1965. End of book R.